The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We do a Matt's Movie Minute. Corey Sandhagen calls in. Stephen Thompson calls in. We have a lot of fun.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
As we start, Matt is doing... it's funny, Matt has had a text from his accountant.
I suck.
No, buddy, no. I get them too. And my accountant, because accountants are all a little weird, because you guys deal with numbers and figures, and you're all a little fucking bizarre on interpersonal relationships. And my guy will text me at the worst time, Jim, they're going to give you a salary of this. And he goes through all this stuff. And then I'll read the text and he'll write back the next day. Did you get my text? Okay, yeah, I did. Okay, do you agree? It's just nonstop. I hate when you're texting somebody. You say something and they like the text and you think you have a new text and they say so-and-so liked your text. Fuck them.
I love it. I love the text. I love that.
I hate when they write copy. Hey, are you going to come out now? Yeah, I'll be down in 2 minutes. Copy. Stop. Oh. I think I got a new text from a girl. Show me your tits.
Copy?
They say copy. I got it.
Like Roger. Copy that.
Yeah, my Kenny does that. My road manager. He's very, very official, like a policeman.
I don't like that at all. But yeah, so my account, we know I'm a big baby. We know that. My wife takes care of me. My accountant's got to take care of me.
Sure.
My brother-in-law is my insurance guy. It's like this. I could be forgetful.
Sure.
All right. The fuck was that, Christopher? Clearing your throat?
I was laughing that you said I could be forgetful.
Well, I could be. Uh-huh. Well, I forget shit. So, in other words, I was supposed to drop stuff off at his office on a Tuesday. Forgot it.
What are you supposed to drop off? Money?
You get some of the bank statements.
Oh, can't you email them? I would drop off shit at my account's office.
I go to the bank and I physically get it. And I bring it there because I am what you call old school.
Jim. Matt's a meat and potatoes guy.
Yep.
Yes, gluten-free pasta and cauliflower pizza guy, actually, Jimmy.
Do you know I pay, here's what I do. When I get bills from my account, I put them in a FedEx and I just send them to him. I never see him.
Sure.
And I like to see him. You know why? He's a Longo. It's Ray's brother.
Paul. Oh, all right.
He's great. He's a good dude. He looks like Ray if Ray took a different choice.
I love Ray.
If he made a different choice in life, I call him the sane Longo.
Look, I like Ray Longo. Like Ray. Yes. I wouldn't trust anyone who looks like Ray Longo to mow my lawn.
What are you saying?
He would scare me.
Well, Longo, why? You ever see him with a Cali sticks?
Ray? No. Ray scary. Is a killer.
Ray is
but
a
I'm
killer.
Saying I wouldn't trust him with my money. Not that I think he'd steal it, but I think he'd make mistakes.
Well, Paul's.
I think Ray would make honest mistakes.
Ray seemed to. We were just talking before the show about guys you wouldn't. Like, if you saw in a bar who you wouldn't want to fuck around with, Ray's that guy, too.
Ray is that guy. If I needed to train, or if I needed a guy who's got my back, I would want Ray. But he doesn't look like a guy where you go, that's a man I want handling my finances.
And he's quicker than he. You see him maybe getting up from a stool, walking around. He doesn't look too quick. He's quicker than you.
He has quick hands, right?
Quick hands, quick with a blade.
Yeah.
So he's got. It's just...
He looks like a problem. You look at Ray, he looks like an ex-cop. He looks like a guy that would fucking smash it through a window.
Yeah. I think
he's not a small dude.
The big guy can handle himself.
Yeah.
He's looking better now at 60 than he was at 50.
However, I would not want someone who resembles Ray handling my finances. I want a nerd.
Yeah. You don't want him because, you know. Because
he doesn't look like a nerd. He looks like a fucking killer. I don't want a guy that looks.
And he looks all, he looks like all, he looks mobbed up.
Dude, he looks like one of the, he looks like the guy that was fucking cutting some of the food in Goodfellas in the jail scene. That's not the guy I want touching my fucking 100%.
I agree with you with that. He's an honest man, but he looks that type. Yes. You go to him, hey, what happened to my money? He goes, what money? Yeah. And then what do you do, Jimmy?
Races down like Pesci in Casino. I think I want my money back. Three fucking he invested, fucking loses.
What about the one with the wig in Goodfellas? I want my money, Henry.
Oh, Maury.
I want my money.
What am I? Fuck him, that cigarette hijacking Mick. What am I, schmuck on wheels? So good.
Yeah, it didn't work out well for him.
No, they choke him and his wig fell off.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you got Ray's brother as your accountant.
He's awesome. He's a great man.
So you like seeing him?
I do like seeing him. And, you know, so I got to handle my business, man. You know? I just act like a big goof. But again, he tracks me down when I like just, when I should be, I, you know, again, I'd be that guy getting in trouble with taxes and this and that. I he keeps me on the straight and narrow.
Well, it looks like we have our first guest today.
Oh, really?
We have Wonder Boy on the phone.
Awesome.
Hello, sir. How you doing, Steven?
Doing great, my friend. How about yourself?
Good, good. You got Jim and Matt. We haven't talked to you in a little while. Have you just kind of been waiting
been
for
a
the...
while.
It has been. Have you not, you've not fought since, was Till was your last fight, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it was what, last May, I think. I ended up tearing my MCL in the first round, so that took. I was out for a little bit for that to heal up. And yeah, man, it's been a while since I've actually got to go to, you know, to fight, man. So I've been waiting in the wind.
What do you do in this? Oh, sorry, Matt. What do you do when you have this kind of time off besides rehab your injury? I mean, are you kind of like, are you watching what's happening, getting frustrated that you can't participate, or you're not sure what you're going to do next?
Yeah, man, I really am. I'm sitting here and just kind of frustrated on what's next. You know, the welterweight division is kind of up in the air right now. I mean, there's a lot of drama going on with, you know, the Usman, the Colby Covington debacle, and there was a few times where I thought I was going to fight, like Robbie Lawler, for instance. I thought that was going to be in the bag. I thought that was going to happen. And then I was actually in New York, with Chris. Chris was getting ready to fight. He fought, Jacare, and that's where I actually found out that I wasn't fighting him. He was fighting Ben Askren, and then Ponzinibbio. So I thought I was going to fight him January 12th, a few weekends ago, or last weekend might have been, and that ended up falling through. He didn't want to fight, so I was kind of like, you know, what the heck is happening? You know, I'm just kind of waiting here, and then you get this 155er calling me out. Of course, I just want to fight, to be honest with you. I don't care who it is. So there's a lot of fans excited about this one. But, you know, we'll see. We'll go out there and have some fun.
Well, styles make fights. I'm very excited about this. I didn't know where the heck this came from, though. It's like, what? But it is awesome. When you say that, it's like, all right, styles make fights. And Anthony is very creative standing up, much like yourself. You know, it's really got the makings of like a fight of the night. You know what I mean? Where some guys are either trying to like just track you down or trying to time you. I mean, I really think he's going to engage, and it's going to be taking place on the feet, I believe, unless you're going to be going for double legs.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I mean, it was kind of weird because I was actually going on vacation. I was going on a snowboarding trip up in Denver, and as soon as I got off the plane, I turned my phone off of plane mode. And my phone was blowing up, you know, and I was kind of glancing down on my phone, like, what is going on? And I'm getting my luggage, and then, you know, I found out that Anthony Pettis called me out. I was like, wow, that's just kind of weird. You know, this guy's, he used to fight at 145. He went up to 155. That's three weight classes. Now he wants to come to 170, but fight one of the top five guys in the division, which is, you know, that says a lot for Anthony, man. He's a tough dude. And
former champion, yeah.
Former champion. I think out of everybody that I faced so far in the welterweight division, he is going to be the one more familiar with my style than any of them, than anybody in the welterweight division, I think. Because, you know, he's a taekwondo stylist, and you've seen him fight. His distance management is off the charts. He's very good. He's just very good, and he's familiar with that style, you know, growing up in taekwondo. So, you know, do I think it's going to be an easy fight? No, not at all. You know, I'm going to be prepared for the best. For a five in a round war with this guy, even though, you know, he's fought the 145, 155, you know, well, like he said, a straight shot to the chin could take just about anybody out, you know, no matter how big you are. So he's, but that's the thing. He's going to have a, it's still different, you know. I mean, stepping out there, him and his coach, I think they took the fight because they think they have my, they got my number.
I got to say too, the last fight with Till, which you lost on decision, I really did. I'm not saying this because I like you. I really did think you won that fight, and I was surprised that he got that decision. You know, him jumping up like this, it works one of two ways for guys. Like, it works well because they don't have the weight cut, and they have more energy, and they can just fight a little bit heavier. And some guys have a hard time with it because now you're fighting a guy who's coming in at, you know, 182 pounds and dealing with him or whatever it is you fight when you actually walk in the cage.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, I think those 155ers, because I train with 155ers all the time. They're extremely fast. Even though they're not big, they're very fast. And I think he's going to try and use that to his advantage here. I don't think he's going to take me down. I don't think that at all. I think he's going to, I think he knows if he tries to take me down, he's going to be wasting a lot of energy to try and do so. So I believe he's going to try and out-counter me. You know, I have the reach on him, obviously. I do believe I'm faster than him. And I'm not a big welterweight anyway. You know, I walk around 185. Most of these guys walk around over 200 pounds. So I'm not a big welterweight. So I think it's going to be an exciting and fun fight.
Maybe that's why they chose you.
I'm preparing for it. Oh, I think so. I do. I really do. He knows that, you know, because there's a lot of strong wrestlers in the division. And don't get me wrong, man. Anthony Pettis' jiu-jitsu is very good. You know, it's underestimated, and so he's submitted some very high level guys. You know, he submitted Ben Henderson. He just submitted what's the guy's name? He just beat Carlos Condit.
Michael Chiesa.
Yeah, also Gilbert Melendez. He got an arm lock back in the day. I mean, when he defended the belt. I mean, Gilbert Melendez, right? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, and so he's very underestimated. His jiu-jitsu is so. But the thing is, he's going to have to try and get me down there if that's his game plan. I don't think he's going to try and take me down at all. I think he's going to try and keep it standing.
I agree. I think he's going to be looking at it like he's going to be the faster guy because he's smaller. And you're not a huge, like you said, you're not a huge welterweight, but you're not used to, well, maybe you are used to. I was going to ask you that, but you actually said it just before. You're used to sparring with guys, a lot of guys 155ers, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got guys here at the gym, high-level strikers, too. You know, I fight guys who fight at, you know, 135 all the way up to 205. And both very high-level striking. Of course, our gym is known for that. So, and similar styles to me, to mine. So I'm very used to that. I mean, I was getting asked questions like this, you know, as the fight was being announced and a lot of fans, you know, what's the difference between karate and taekwondo? Well, you know, there's a lot of similarities, a lot of differences. More taekwondo. You know, there's a traditional taekwondo style, and then there's competitive taekwondo, which is mostly kick. You know, they don't even punch. But he's made it work well for MMA, just like my karate has. I remember the very beginning of the UFC when it was coming up, like karate was looked down upon. You know, and now people are trying to play catch up because they're not familiar with the style, and you're seeing more guys doing that karate taekwondo style because it is very difficult to prepare for. You know, you got Conor McGregor with that karate style. You know, Anderson Silva can play back and forth. You know, Gunnar Nelson, Michael Page Venom. I mean, it's a lot of these other guys are playing catch up because it is so difficult to you know, to pin down, to prepare for.
Steven, you've had five decisions in a row. And I think after your last one, you said there might be something you needed to switch up. Have you thought more about that, or is that just something you said in the moment, or what do you attribute that to, besides the fact that the competition is very, very good in the welterweight division?
Yeah, I mean, the guys, you know, coming up, everybody's asking me, telling me that too. Like, you need to go out there and knock more people out. Well, I'm like, man, these guys are on another level. I mean, these are the top five guys in the world. Yeah. You're not just going to go out there and you know, put yourself out there to knock them out, but right. You're also putting yourself out to get knocked out when you try that stuff. So you got to be very patient with these guys. But, you know, one of the things that I've actually worked on is being a little bit more aggressive, not overly aggressive where you see guys run in and get knocked out, but, you know, stepping out there, letting them feel my presence, the same way I did Johnny Hendricks. And that was a mindset that I had when I stepped out there, was to go out there and just, you know, I had a lot of respect for Johnny Hendricks, but I didn't care. You know what I'm saying? I just kind of went out there and did my own thing, not really too worried about what he was going to do. which I think the last few fights I really was. Like, I knew these guys were going to try and take me down, like the Tyron fight. And, of course, the Masvidal fight, I went out there and had some fun. And the Till fight, I ended up tearing my MCL the first round. And that played a whole lot in the rest of the rounds, not being able to do my style because of fear that I was going to blow my knee out. But just that confident mindset, go out there and just, you know, that I can beat these guys. I really can. I mean, top five guys right now, I can go out, I can beat them. I know I can beat Tyron. And just having that mindset, stepping out there and not really too worried about what this guy's going to do. I know what he's going to do. I prepared for that in the gym. So now I just got to go out there and do what I do.
I wonder with Anthony Pettis, with his mindset, being the lighter guy, the smaller guy coming up to fight you, if that puts him at more of a at-ease mindset going in, like, hey, man, if I lose, the guy who's bigger than me anyway, I'll still kick ass in my weight class. I'll, you know what I mean? Like a safety blanket, not an excuse, but he was bigger anyway. I gave it a shot, and if he wins, he's a hero. Where if you beat him, and I'm not trying to, you have a strong mindset anyway, but it could be looked at, he beat a smaller guy. So, I mean, how does your mindset not get caught up into that? And I hope I didn't just mind fuck you with that. I'm only kidding. I'm fighting a smaller guy. There's no upside. No, I'm only kidding. A lot of these guys are going up kicking ass anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, I look at it as there's a lot of 155ers moving up. I mean, Chiesa moved up. You know, Masvidal moved up. You have these guys moving up the welterweight division and doing well. Cerrone was doing very good at 170. Yeah. So I think that's the mindset that he's having. Is many of these other 155ers are doing it, why can't I? And he doesn't have to worry about the weight cut factor. And it is a win-win for him. If he does get beat, well, I got beat by a bigger guy. And if I win, well, that's definitely a win for him. So, you know, I know that going into this fight, like, I know this guy's a smaller guy, and it's a win-win for him. But, you know, that kind of fuels me to train harder because I know he's got that mindset, which means I have to really put on a show. I cannot let this guy, you know, beat me in my own division, you know. So that kind of driving me and pushing me to be the better fighter that night and train as hard as I can, you know, in training. So, you know, a lot of 170s are like, man, why is he fighting a smaller guy? Well, because no 170s want to freaking fight. You know, what does that say about about my division? You know, you got three or four guys at the top of the game not wanting to fight me, and then you have this 155er calling me out. What does that say about you? So y'all can't be saying anything.
You know, I never seen, I'm going to say that out of all the fighters, man, you, when it's fight time, whether it's when you're fighting in somebody's hometown, like Darren Till, or wherever you fight, you it looks like when that fight starts, you look like you're sparring. Like, not in your, you look so damn calm between rounds, leading up, during it, after you get caught with a shot. Where does that come from? Is that just come from the many, many karate tournaments that led up to where you're at now? But because that is, not a lot of guys have that calmness about them.
Well, thanks, man.
Right or wrong, Jimmy? I mean, you absolutely. See what I'm saying?
It concerns me because I like you so much. I'm like, oh, no. And then you never seem like you're concerned about anything in the world. You just seem very relaxed. And
it actually puts me at ease more. I'm like, look at him.
I'm like, his hands are low. You know, I just panic.
Is that the round you clocked in? What is that, Wonderboy?
To be honest, I think that it does have a lot to do with experience. You know, I've been fighting competitively at a very young age, and you know, I started my kickboxing, you know, fighting kickboxing competitively at a young age at 15, and I think that has something to do with it. But I also, one of the things that I look for when I'm watching fights is how calm people are, and I think since it's at the top of my mindset, my thinking, I'm that way when I step out there, because I feel that the guys that are more calm in the octagon are usually the ones that end up coming out on top. I mean, if you watch Anderson Silva fight, he's one of the most calm guys I've ever met in my life, or, you know, seen fight in my life. And it's like, you know, he goes out there and does work. He knows, he's focused on, you know, what he's got to get done out there. And he's not, because my goal whenever I fight somebody is to frustrate them with my style. And you've seen that with time and time again with guys that I fought, especially with the Hendricks fight, the Jake Ellenberger fight, you know, where I had Hendricks actually drop his hands and shake his head, You know, I was like, I knew then that I had him. And if I stay calm, if I let him make me emotional, then I'm going to start doing things that I normally don't do, and I put myself out of position to get hurt. So that's my job. My job is to stay calm and frustrate you. So that way you get emotional, you know, that you get frustrated out there. And then once that happens, then I got you.
And Steve, what do you think about what's going on too? Because the top of the division has kind of had a strange little log jam. You know, Colby Covington got the interim belt, and then Tyron is back. And then it was supposed to be, you know, Colby, I thought, was next in line. And now it's Kamaru Usman. What do you think about that? Because I think for you, because you've already fought Woodley twice, I think for you it's right. A huge advantage if Colby or Kamaru Usman is champion, because that's a whole new rivalry to start. I think for you that's a very big advantage. What do you think about Colby being passed over for Kamaru?
You know, you're right 100%. You know, I think, you know, these guys beating Tyron will definitely put me closer to another title shot, you know. But Tyron is just a freaking, he's a freaking animal, man. He really is. He's an analyst. He's very smart in the octagon and outside the octagon, breaking guys down. Do I think these guys can beat him? Maybe. But, man, Tyron is just, I think he's got better striking, better wrestling than any one of those guys. That's it. I think the only way they beat him is to tire him out, because, you know, Tyron is a very explosive guy, and he's notorious for tiring out later in the rounds. But as you can tell, when he fought Maya, man, he was definitely very calm and ended up putting, you know, doing work and knocked out Till in the second round. I mean, just staying calm. So he's got very good striking, very good wrestling. Just that these guys got to go out there and do what they got to do to beat him. But I don't understand the drama that they're, what's going on. I mean, I know Colby Covington was supposed to fight him, and then Colby Covington wasn't able to fight him when the UFC wanted it to happen. So they were like, okay, well, Manuzman's going to fight, or something like that. I think that's the correct. I think that's the way it went. And then, you know, he did have the interim title, and now Usman's fighting him. So it's like, you know, what the heck is going on? I think everybody's like, what the heck is going on? Why is it Colby fighting for the title? And I know that Colby Covington has not made friends lately. You know, he's the guy that you just don't like, you know? So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I don't know, to be honest with you.
You know, I don't know. I think that there's always a good villain is always an easier sell on a fight, too. I think the fact that he's not likable, and I'm not crazy about him either, but I do think he deserved that shot. But I like Kamaru a lot more as a person. I really like him. But, you know, Colby being kind of a dick or a villain certainly does not hurt sell the fight, you know. But I think for you it works out well either way. And I think that, because I don't think Colby will fight you before he fights Kamaru or Tyron for that. I think his next fight is going to be a title shot if he's going to fight.
Yeah, I heard there was rumor that he was going to fight Till in London, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think Masvidal got that one. So at the time when I was looking for a fight, that fight was like out there. You know, the information was out there on social media. Colby Covington is going to fight Till in London, blah blah blah, or shooting for it. So I'm like, man, well, everybody's pretty much going to fight coming up. So. But that's not happening. Masvidal's got, I think, taking it over that. So, yeah, I don't think Colby, I mean, and it's understandable. I mean, you're supposed to be fighting for the title. I'm not going to fight anybody until I fight for the title. Y'all right. Told me I was going to fight, you know? So that's understandable. He's going to wait, I believe, to fight for that title, yeah.
Because I think you against Santiago Ponzinibbio would be an incredible fight. What happened with that? Did he just not want to do it? Is he hurt?
No, I really don't understand what was going on. We were talking back with the coaches and everything, and I just believe he just didn't want to fight. I think he's fighting RDA now. That's the guy he wanted to fight. He didn't want to fight me. It looked like for a little while there that it was going to happen, and I was preparing for that. We were on vacation. Chris's vacation. We're actually with the Weidmans. I was training on vacation, and then the fight ended up happening, so which is okay. You know, I'm coming into this camp and already in shape.
Now, might have been on that vacation, and this is coming from Mrs. Sarah, my wife. You made her nervous. Don't play catch with your nephew. Don't do that. You and Chris Weidman will play. You know what I'm talking about. It wasn't that far of a throw. But my wife goes, oh, look at that. This, oh, they're throwing the baby. No, but it was funny. You guys are hysterical, man.
Right.
You got a dangerous. God, do you realize Wonder Boy, if they have a family reunion, how dangerous his family is? Not just with his father. His father alone is a scary individual.
Yes.
But, you know, him and Wonder Boy could take out a whole bar. Now, then you picture they're related to the Weidmans.
That's right.
Wonder, you know, not only that, his other sister is married to Carlos Machado of the famous Machado clan. I mean, that is a. I mean, holy shit, man. But you guys have every, you have all the bases covered. You guys got the karate. Carlos brings in the jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu master Weidman with the wrestling. And look at you guys. I don't
man,
know.
That's,
I was
that's
thinking
the
about it.
I
it's
think
crazy.
That was a plan from the get-go. My dad had a plan. They weren't planning marriages, I promise.
It's amazing.
Somehow they ninja'd their brains and made it happen. I don't know.
It reminds me of Game of Thrones when it's like, oh, it'll be a good match. I can see, what is it, Charlie Weidman and your father got together. It'll be a good match. We'll combine houses.
House Thompson and House Weidman.
House Thompson, House Machado, House Weidman are all, you call the banners, you guys are set. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And those guys are, and Charlie Weidman, Chris's dad and my dad are very similar guys. He comes down here a lot, man. And all they do is sit there, smoke cigars, and drink beers and chat about everything. And they could do that for hours, for days. And they'll talk about fighting for days to come, you know? So they're literally the same guy.
Are you still teaching? I know you were teaching, I think, kids karate or beginner karate class. Are you still teaching now, or you don't do that at all when you're in camp?
Oh no, man! That's my daily routine. I work around my teaching. So I'm still at the gym, man, 24/7. I'm here teaching the kids classes from 5 year olds all the way up to 10, and you know we're busting out the scenes. We're getting ready to move our facility to a bigger. We're an 11,000 square foot facility now. We're moving to a 20,000 square foot facility. So because we're busting out the scenes, we've been here for. We've been open for 35 years,
wow.
But we've been in this location for about 25 years. So it's still going to be in Simpsonville, but, you know, we're having to turn people away.
That
you know?
Is so great. That's awesome.
So you know what you'll do if you, like, if you defend, when eventually you stop fighting, a lot of, like, we had Dennis Bermudez in, and he's, like, thinking about doing this or that. He's kind of searching. You know what you're going to do after you're done actively fighting.
Oh, yeah. This is where I'm going to be. This is my first love. I fight. Because I like to compete, man. The money's a bonus, but I could stop that right now and just teach karate classes, to be honest with you. I mean, it's awesome. And we got three generations of martial artists coming. We got grandkids of grandparents that took here.
That's so
took
great.
It, took at our gym. My dad taught when they were young. It's crazy.
How long has your dad been doing it?
Oh, my goodness. You know, the reason, y'all know this already, he started karate because of Elvis Presley. You know, Elvis Presley was a celebrity black belt. He's like a seventh degree, but he was like a celebrity. You know,
wait, they said Elvis was seventh degree?
Yeah. Sure
Ed Parker, yes? And,
yeah, Ed Parker, man. Matt said, you know your stuff.
Thank
bro.
You. You Thank you, Wonder Boy. That makes me feel happy. But it's true. Yeah, Ed Parker.
That's why. Yeah, oh, that's Ed great. Parker, man, back in the day. And my dad couldn't dance like Elvis. He couldn't sing like Elvis, but he would do some of his moves on stage. And my dad's like, I want to be like this guy. So he was in military school at the time. He got $5 a week for an allowance, and he spent that $5 to drive 2 hours one way to train with this karate guy.
Wow.
And 2 hours back. And that was his training for a long time. He's been doing this. Man, he's been fighting since the 70s. Man, 75 maybe, I think, 70, 76. But he's been competing for a long time too.
I like when that private was all nervous about him, and he was giving teaching that guy to be a man. We got to have your father back in here. I remember the last time he was here, he told us that story, and the guy was scared shit of him, and he had to get him ready, man. He had to get him ready. He could have went to war.
He did. Oh my goodness, man! My dad was he bullied that guy. I mean, he was the biggest guy in the school, and bullied that guy all the way to the field. The guy was scared of him.
Probably saved his life.
Oh, my God.
Probably saved his life.
I'm doubting Elvis's seventh degree. I'm calling into question the validity of Elvis's seventh degree.
Well, I am too. And my dad is too. Like, you know, now that my dad is experiencing the martial arts, like, you know, he's one of those black belts that was kind of given to him because he is who he is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he was probably at best like a brown belt, maybe like in karate, like a karate brown belt, which is, you know, not even close to black belt, but you know, That's probably the level he was. He was probably given a seventh degree. Oh, I'm a seventh degree. Oh, you're Elvis Presley, so there you go.
Yeah, right. They'd probably ask what degree he was. They'd say third, and he'd pop a few pills, and he'd go, I'm fourth. And I'd be like, all right, Elvis, you're fourth. What's the difference?
Going up.
He's eating a fried banana and peanut butter sandwich. Who cares? He's going to shit himself to death. I heard that.
Oh, I love it.
I heard that the karate instructor was banging Priscilla. Did you ever hear that rumor?
I heard that rumor.
Was what?
Was that Elvis's karate instructor was banging Priscilla. That's what I heard.
This goddamn Elvis.
No. Oh, my God.
You didn't hear that? Idea. That was a rumor.
You know how depressing that is when you're Elvis and you can't. But then again, he probably wasn't, you know, having a lot of sex at the very end. I don't know.
All right. All right. Let's let Wonderboy go.
Listen, we love you, man.
I love it.
Good luck to you.
Love fight. You guys, man.
Anthony Pettis. You're the best. Main event, UFC Nashville, March the 23rd on ESPN+. And maybe we'll talk to you before then, but we'll talk to you soon, man. Good luck, all right?
Yeah, Wonderboy.
All right, brother. I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
Take care, buddy.
I'll tell you, man, Wonderboy versus Showtime sounds like a great comic fight. Book.
Yes, it does.
You know? Speaking of comic books, I saw Glass last night.
What did you?
Glass.
I didn't see the first two. You saw the other two attached to it?
100% I did. You want to do it?
Yeah, well, I was gonna say before. What? I was gonna say before you hit the ground running, we have to call Corey in 1 minute, so we can.
Oh,
do it
really?
After, yeah.
You guys talk among yourselves. I'm taking a leak.
I was gonna do the same thing.
Take a quick break, and then we'll.
Leak break.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700 plus. Take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
I love talking to Wonderboy. We have Corey Sandhagen we're going to call in just a minute. 10-1, very quietly. I think he's 3-0 in the UFC. Am I correct, Chris?
Okay. His fight, first of all, the last fight was beautiful. And his fight before that with Lurie Alexandra.
Yuri Alcantara.
Alcantara. I was going to say Alcantara.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck I said.
That's right.
Something different.
You said Alexander. Yes.
But that fight was wild, man. Flexible as a motherfucker.
Hey, what's up, Corey?
What's up, man? How are you guys?
Good, buddy. How you doing? We were just talking about him. Congratulations on that last fight. That was really beautiful.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We watched, too, your Alcantara. How do you say it? Is that correct?
I think so. I say it different every time, too, man.
Okay. How close were you to tapping? Because watching your arm go back like that in the first round, I don't think I've ever seen anybody survive that without tapping.
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest. It didn't really cross my mind, but I also didn't really know how straight it was. I think maybe all of the adrenaline and then kind of how quick he snapped on the armbar. I didn't really have time to think, and I do remember actually having like one lucid thought where I was kind of in my head. I was like, Well, it's already straight and it's already hurt, so you might as well just keep fighting through it. And then, and I was like, the damage has been done. It would really suck to tap now and then still have your arm be just as hurt as it was going to be anyway. So that was kind of my thought process there.
Well, that's extremely that's tough. A lot of guys feel that first pop. I mean, how many times did it pop? Do you know?
I think twice. Yeah, right. Twice, I think.
Usually, I mean, I remember Henzo saying, man, four times, then broken. So I mean, yeah, what was the, because I'll tell you, it didn't slow you down at all. Because that's a cringe. You saw that going in a different direction. It was 100% hyperextended. And I'll tell you, the presence of mind that you're getting hammer-fisted, because that was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it now because you survived and you dished out even more of a beating. That's what was such a beautiful thing about that fight. It went from the worst fucking possible position and then surviving. And it's not, did your arm hurt? How soon after that fight did you say, all right, I should get some ice on this thing? Or you didn't feel it? You didn't feel it right away.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, in the fight, I didn't feel anything, you know, it didn't really cross my mind to not even try to use it. Like, when I got on top, I was just like, I'm beating this dude's ass now, you know. But after the fight, you know, like, the doctor asked me how much I could move it, and it maybe went, like, 2 inches tops, like, when I was trying to bend it towards my face, and I was like, oh, man, this is not good. But I went and got x-rays on it or whatever, and then everything turned out to be okay. They actually told me that I had a break in there from like maybe 2 or 3 years ago that I didn't know about. But that was all that really happened. I guess it was maybe like 3 weeks afterwards I was back on the mat.
Now, let me ask you, jiu-jitsu-wise, like, are you a hard guy to arm lock in general? Because, you know, you looked very extremely flexible. I know the thing got popped, but...
I don't know. I never really let it go that far.
Yeah, right.
I don't have too much of an ego, so I mean, tapping doesn't really bother me. But I don't really know. I guess I do have a lot of flexibility. I learned.
Well, you're more flexible now, that's for sure.
After that. Yeah.
Now, you in Colorado, I seen Elliot Marshall in your corner. Do you know Amal Eastern also or no?
Yeah, man. I actually train at Sarah BJJ when I'm down in Long Island. I have a lot of family from Long Island, so like I'll stop in and out of there when I'm visiting family. But yeah, Amal's out there too. He started the Boulder gym. Yeah.
Have I seen you? Don't fucking make me feel bad.
I seen you walk in the gym one time, man. But you know, like I think you just like popped in and out, so I didn't really get to say hi or introduce myself.
Well, next time come up to me, because usually Amal would hit me up and tell me that he's got somebody coming to town or something. I hope he didn't charge you.
I always message Rao because Rao.
Jason Rao. Okay.
Yeah, Rao comes out and does seminars and stuff, so I have a little bit of a relationship with Rao. So okay. Yeah, I always message Rao, but.
Oh, that's great, man. Well, you're welcome anytime, man. I know Amal Easton a long time. So, I mean, now listen, 3-0 in the UFC and on a 5-fight win streak. Did you call anybody out afterwards or no?
I didn't call anyone out. There's like a – I don't really know who to call out, you know? Like, I don't really care who I fight, to be honest, you know? Like, just honestly, like, the bigger the number, the better. Or not bigger, I guess the smaller the number, the better. Like, 100%. I mean, if Lineker wants to fight, I'd love to fight Lineker again, or not again, but start getting ready for him again. That was like, I felt like brought a lot of the best out of me, especially like getting into the gym and things like that too. So if Lineker wants to fight or one of those really good strikers wants to fight, I know Almeida and Vera are booked now, so that kind of sucks. I would have really thought me and Almeida would have had a great fight, but I don't know if Font or Alejandro Perez, I know that those are two really, really good strikers too. So if they want to go at it, I think that we'd have good fights too. But to be honest, man, I really don't care. I mean, I'm cool with whatever. You know, it's my third fight in, so whatever. As long as I'm performing good, I don't really care at this point.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's one of the things that gets fights to happen is at times these guys start on Twitter. I mean, you know, and I guess the business part of the UFC says, well, this is something people would pay to see because these guys are going at it. So is there any part of you that wants to do it just for that where you think that might generate some interest and you can might be able to make the fight happen from the outside?
I think that those guys would take the fight against me anyways, to be honest. I don't know that I really have to do too much of that. they probably, I don't know how they look at me. If they watch me and they're like, oh man, that guy's good, I kind of want to stay away from him, or if they see me as like not too much of a dangerous fight, maybe because I just don't go out and like slug like some of these guys. So I don't know that I even really have to do that right now. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day, actually, is I should probably get on Twitter a little bit more, but I just hate that thing, and I don't know what language that is even written in, you know? Like,
yeah.
For me to try to understand that is very difficult, but, I mean, yeah, you know, maybe I should, I don't know.
Hey, man, I think you should continue to be yourself, Corey. I wouldn't even sweat that too much. It is always good when you get a name. It is kind of juicy. Like that fight with Lineker, you don't have to necessarily talk shit about him to say that's going to be a barn burner. Of course, the way you fight is exciting enough. Like that's exciting enough where you don't have to be something you're not, because there's nothing worse than a wannabe shit talker.
Yeah, sometimes it looks fake.
But you state your, But like you state your case, like, hey man, this fight, I want to fight this guy. This guy's fuck. This guy's exciting. You don't got to throw the fucks in there. That's me. I'm just a bad influence. But you know, I see that you sound like, you know, respectful, good kid, and man, your skill set and your fighting style alone, that's gonna put people in seats, man, for sure. Exciting kid, Jimmy. You see that fucking knee?
It was incredible. Hey, what do you think of what happened to, you know, at the top of the division with TJ going down and losing to Cejudo so quickly?
I mean, that surprised me. As far as the stoppage goes, man, like, if it were me fighting because I wasn't put all the way out and I did work as hard as I did to, like, get to that championship fight and lose all of that weight and sacrifice all of the things that TJ had to sacrifice, I would want to be put all the way out and 100% for sure be finished if they were going to call the fight. But also, man, I don't think it was too bad of a stoppage, to be honest. Like, he got rocked, he got dropped. He seemed okay. He went up for the single. As he went to get up, he got hit. Like, if you watch in slow motion, he got hit like 2-3 more times on the way down, got dropped again. So, like, the ref gave him a shot, you know, and when he went to get up, he still got clipped and got dropped again. So, I mean, he got dropped twice in 10 seconds. I don't really think it was too bad of a stoppage. It sucks for TJ, but, I mean, I think that the ref made a good decision.
You know, it's funny. I was talking about this on the show the other day, and I felt it was a little premature, the stoppage. But then I was talking to Longo, and I do think, again, it was, I feel, maybe a tad bit. So I was talking about this with the great Ray Longo, and he says, yes, but you got to understand, he put himself in that position to be getting dropped. So he should not be, because I felt really bad for TJ in the beginning. And I still feel somewhat bad for him. But not for nothing, you did get dropped, not once, but twice. And you are in that position. So I don't want to take anything away from Cejudo. This is kind of going back to last show. I don't know if you heard it, Corey. But I was kind of taking the stance where it was a premature stoppage. I felt bad for TJ. But at the same point, in that whatever it was 20 seconds or whatever, you know, Cejudo was right in his face, and he did drop him.
He pushed him down almost.
Pushed him down. He knocked him down with punches. He was swarming him. And TJ was put in that position, whether, you know, he would have survived it or not. So it is one of those things.
I wonder if he was depleted from the cut at all. That's a big cut for him, and I wonder if that affected him.
I think we'll never know, Jimmy. But
unless he comes out and says it. Like, you want to blame that first round loss to with Rose on a bad weight cut.
Yeah, well, he's basically saying he hasn't lost the fight.
That's true. He said you didn't beat me. What made you start training? You know, I always wonder what makes guys start when they're kids. Was it something, were you getting picked on, or did you just like it from the movies, or did you just want to do it?
Why, man? Does it look like I'm a kid that gets picked on?
No, but you never know, man. Some of these guys, like, I think Rashad Evans said he had, like, an uncle that would beat the shit out of him. Like, I'm always amazed that some of these guys get picked on, or maybe he had a growth spurt. You know, that happens too.
No, man, like, I obviously I get asked that a lot. My answer is always kind of the same. Dude, I don't really have, like, an exciting story by any means to why I started training. I grew up playing basketball. I was a decent basketball player. I probably maybe could have played somewhere, but I was just kind of worn out on basketball when I was playing in high school. Wanted to shift over to wrestling, but my mom wouldn't let me wrestling because she didn't want me wearing a singlet.
Wait, why?
And, I don't know.
Jimmy owns one. He doesn't even wrestle.
Yeah, no, I just wear it around the house in case girls come over.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember I asked my mom, I was like, hey, Ma, well, she was a really big basketball person, too. You know, like, I think that she really liked me playing basketball. She was a basketball player, too, or whatever. But I was like, hey, Ma, I think I'm going to wrestle this year. I'm not going to play basketball because they're during the same season. She was like, oh, yeah, okay. Do you have to wear one of those little pajama things that they wear? I was like, yeah, I would have to wear that. She's like, okay, I think you should maybe stick with basketball.
Wait, was she worried about the coach being creepy, or did she not?
I don't know. I think so, man. I think so.
Oh, okay.
But no, man, basketball kind of like got really dry for me. And then that's kind of when the WEC and the UFC was getting a little bit more like televised and stuff. So I just saw it on TV a couple times. I signed up at Nate Marquardt's gym. So I just got really lucky because I didn't really know anything, you know, about fighting. So cool. I was just like, this gym is by my house. Let me try this gym. And then it turned out being like probably the best gym in Colorado with along with Easton. So I just got really lucky, man. And then I just fell in love with it right away. I picked it up pretty naturally. And then, I just ran with it.
Who were some of the WEC guys you liked?
I used to love watching Cruz. Eddie Weiland I used to really like. Cowboy, obviously. But yeah, those three. I actually used to fight a lot like Cruz. I was like, man, this is different. Like, this is cool. I like this style. It's very athletic. There's a lot of footwork. And then I kind of just made it my own. I made it a little bit more technical than he has. But yeah, those three are probably my top three favorite fighters from back in the day.
So when they said you had a break from a couple of years ago in the arm, it was something that obviously had healed and they just saw like the remnants of it, or it wasn't still broken, was it?
Yeah, there's like a chip in there or something. It was my left arm. I think it was my left arm. I broke that one like a real long time ago posting when I was being taken down, and it dislocated real bad, so I'm just assuming that that's what it was.
At what point did you realize you were sick of basketball? Like, was there one game or one practice you're like, fuck this? Like what made you think, I don't want to do this anymore?
I don't know. I was just young and kind of over it. I don't even really think I liked it. I kind of just was doing it because I was good at it. Maybe it was going to get me a scholarship somewhere, but I don't really know.
Oh, okay, it was something that was never, your heart was never completely in it.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you're a really fun fighter to watch, man, and we look forward to watching you again. I wish you had one lined up that we could promote, but I'm sure you'll get something soon.
I hope they make that Lineker matchup. That'd be fantastic. And not for nothing, this other kid, Mario Batista, he did come to fight.
Yes, he did.
He did come. I think he took that on, how many weeks' notice did he take?
Just a week, I think.
All right, so that guy deserves some props because he wasn't playing it safe. He just ran into Corey Sanhagen's fucking knee.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I even try to punk him a little bit, like in the fight. I always try to see kind of if they're gangster or not, like if they're down to fight. So I kind of tried to like egg him on a little bit, and I think he started talking some shit back to me, and I was like, okay, that's not going to work with this kid. So,
That's great.
I was like, all right, not going to work with this kid. Let's just keep beating him up.
Are there some guys it works with and they won't engage you again and you know you got them?
I see it in their posture, you know, like some guys just cower away from it, you know, like when you're in the cage and like it's just you and that person and it's like, it's not sparring against your friend. Like you're fighting someone that is trying to take your head off. And you start doing little things like that. You can see people's posture get broken.
100%.
Yeah. Cause they don't want to throw a punt. Like it's funny when a guy is taunting another guy, like Weidman took full advantage of it and knocked Silva out. But so many guys won't do that. Cause it's almost humiliating to throw a punch at a guy who's putting his chin out and miss.
Yeah. It just messes with you, man. Like Mike Tyson said it best or whoever said it, Every minute he was thinking, I was punching. So like, the more you can keep someone thinking in a fight and not focused on the fight, the better odds you have for scoring whatever you want to do.
Well, I'm sure we'll be seeing you for a long time, man. You're an extremely exciting fighter and obviously very, very tough. That's one of the most impressive things I've seen someone get out of was that armbar, because you looked like you were finished.
And then he unleashed hell.
Yes, he did. I actually thought the ref might stop that in the first round. That looked like he could have stopped that in your favor in the first round.
Hey, but I appreciate you saying that. And then I gave him some hell because everyone just kind of talked about the armbar, and I was man, like what about the 2 minutes afterwards where I was kind of showing some good ground and pound, you know, like. So thank you.
You were showing great ground and pound, and I was surprised that he made it into the second round. But to do that after what you had just survived,
dude, payback even time. More impressive. It was payback time, Jimmy.
It was.
And Corey, next time you're coming to town and you're hitting up Jason Rao, you're visiting the school, you let me know, buddy.
Okay, I'll let you know, man.
All right,
man. All right, man. Take care of yourself, and we'll definitely talk to you again.
Take care, dude.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks,
all right, Corey, take care.
We're going to see a lot from that kid.
Yeah,
man.
He's really
he's
fun to watch.
He's only 26.
Yep.
Man, what a that, and he's fun to watch, yep. Man.
Why do you charge him when he goes there? Stop charging him.
I got three kids, man. No, I don't charge him. I'm sure he's got it on the house. I'm actually too lenient with that. That's why I don't answer the phones anymore.
Oh, no.
I don't do anything, you know?
Hey, whatever happened to your friend who is going to start that charity thing with you?
Never heard from him again. Funny enough, he never even followed up. Maybe he got the memo that he's an asshole. I literally have enough friends. I do appreciate, because now I'm getting crazy, a lot of DMs and stuff. I try to get back to a lot of people. Sure. And a lot of them are fans, obviously, from this show, you know? And I try to get back to everybody, Jimmy, but I am one man.
Yes, you are.
So it is difficult.
I'm not even that.
Jimmy, you are that, Jimmy, and much more.
Oh, I don't know, Matt. Thanks. You know? I appreciate that.
Give us some. Well, you know, we can do that. I could talk about Glass.
You can do the movie.
In a minute, but what do we got?
I was just going to say, you said the thing. Henzo said, four pops, then broken.
Yes.
How many people on Earth that are walking around know exactly how many pops it takes before your arm breaks?
And I just like, always remember what a fascinating that. Because I remember if somebody's arms got popped or hurt in class, it would... that he would be like, man, how many pops you hear? You know? So
it's just funny that he has that like on tap. Yeah. Like he knows the answer.
Hey, that kid's a tough kid. Oh, yeah. It doesn't, when your arm's in it, it's an instinct to save your limb. It's just, you might be a super tough guy, but it's an instinct to be like, ah, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, so that kid's getting hammer fisted in his face. He's getting his arm popped. And you didn't see any indication of him looking to get out of there.
He looked
Corey
calm.
Sandhagen is a tough dude and a technical guy and a young kid. And I can't wait to see what's next.
Didn't he look calm when he was getting punched even? He looked like he looked really
comfortable. Got his own nose. Yep. He's getting busted. That. I'll tell you. What's his opponent's name?
Yuri Alcantara.
Yes. He was doing everything right. And then it went terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Fuck. Now, Dean Thomas commented on Greg Hardy.
The great Dean? Well, I mean, Dean Thomas?
He said, I kind of blame myself. Sometimes I underestimate the magnitude of the UFC because I've been doing it so long. When you really put it in perspective, being locked inside a cage to fist fight another human being is a pretty intimidating experience. So he's basically saying that he thinks that he's comparing it to sacking a quarterback.
Fuck this.
He was saying that by no means do I think he did it intentionally. He's just a guy who saw an opponent and didn't have the awareness or the experience to know. He wants to be one of the good guys. For this to happen, it was just unfortunate.
Oh, really? Unfortunate. Call Dean Thomas. Call Mr. Thomas.
All right, I'm going to get him. Hold on.
We're calling Dean Thomas. And I guarantee he picks up, this motherfucker.
Well, unless he's...
Unless he's what?
Showering.
He could be showering, that's true.
Why showering?
It's because he's... what people do.
He's in Florida. It's hot down there.
Sure is.
Wait, why'd you choose? He could be doing his BJJ online stuff.
That's right. But I think of things you would do where you wouldn't have your phone. Showering is number one.
He could be
top five answers around the board. Things you are doing when you won't be holding your phone.
Training.
Oh, I just picked it up. Why showering? Because he's not going to have his phone on him.
Yeah.
I'm a little late to a lot of things, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, I'm not as smart as you might think. Because I know you hold me. But the first thing you think about me, you think brains.
I do.
Second thing, maybe a little messy. Third thing, a husky bundle of joy.
I do.
You know what I was thinking about with Dennis the Menace's his podcast was Menace and the Man, right?
Yep.
You know, then you got the fighter and the kid. What we got UFC Unfiltered, but let's say this thing goes away tomorrow. Well, which please, I hope it doesn't. I have three children.
You know what we're called.
What would we be called? That fucker's not calling up.
Daddy and the Eager House Boy.
That's right.
Hold on. It would not be called Daddy in the Eager House Boy. It would not be called that at all. We would have to think of a name.
I was suggesting, because you had your knee operated on, it's Gimpy and the Gimp.
I like that.
I think that's a fucking disaster.
Gimpy and the Gimp.
I don't like that at all.
Okay.
I don't like being called Gimpy. Well, who's the Gimp? You're the Gimp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the one that sits in the leather in a thing waiting to be taken out sexually. Touched.
Yeah. Right. No answer from Dean Thomas.
All right. Yeah. It's probably showering or training. Or ignoring it.
Well, Husky Man and Bird Boy.
By the way, Edson Barboza against Justin Gaethje.
What?
Has been announced.
That's a good fight.
UFC on ESPN, Barboza versus Gaethje. Saturday, March 30th from Philly. Wow, is that a good fight? It's almost a hometown fight for Barboza, considering he trains in Jersey.
Correct.
By the way, what the fuck is Frankie Edgar doing?
He doesn't train in Jersey now.
He stopped training.
He went over the top team.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, but I think he lives still in Jersey, unless he moved to Florida.
I didn't know that.
You know what's kind of whack? What? On Edson Barboza's point on what? Side. No, I'm just saying. Like, I know I'm buddies with Ricardo Almeida and those guys, and then they didn't say nothing. But he's been with them for so long, doing so well, and now he's training with American Top Team. He wins his last fight, and he's like, I'm with the best team in the world. It's like, what the fuck? That's great. It's nice, but can't you just, you know.
Maybe he's trying to psych himself up because he wasn't. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he's feeling like, all right, I made the right move, and he just wants that to be the right move.
Yeah, here's the thing, though.
You don't got to shit on your ex-coach.
Yeah, and in fairness, the two opponents before that, Kevin Lee and Khabib, that's a totally different fight than fighting Dan Hooker.
Yes,
who,
it is.
You know, is going to be a striking fight, you know, which benefits Barboza.
Well, obviously. Gaethje's going to be pure jiu-jitsu.
Oh, this is going to be, yeah.
Styles-wise.
Total ground game.
that's going to be a lot of fun.
That is going to be, because Gaethje also enjoys brutalizing your legs.
Right.
And two guys, how many guys has Barboza fought, or has Gaethje fought, who do what they both do? I think Barboza kicks a leg harder than anybody, at least in that division.
He might have the best.
You know, maybe Mark Hunt.
You know how people say like one fight can't be a boring fight. I'm gonna be that guy.
Yes, and Ganu Lewis.
That's like that is the ultimate example of a fight that couldn't have been boring that ended up being the worst fight.
But Justin Gaethje goes forward.
He does.
And Justin Gaethje is, it's fair to say, he's never been in a boring
fight.
He's
a fucking maniac. Ever. He's a maniac.
And Edson Barboza's not all of a sudden going to switch to a ground. No. I mean, first of all, it's not like you can just put him down anyway. Gaethje's got fantastic wrestling and takedown defense. So, you know, that's a fantastic, fantastic matchup. When is that again?
March 30th.
In Philly.
Philly.
I don't know if I'm around.
Do they have gluten-free cheesesteaks?
Probably not.
Fucking.
They might.
Negative Nilly. Chris, the producer, I'm actually checking on my gluten-free dreams.
I'm checking my calendar to see if I'm available the 30th. You know, because I may want to go. Nope. Oh, yes, I am, actually.
My wife makes gluten-free meatballs now.
Oh, good.
You take the gluten-free bread. That's all you need, Jimmy.
Sure.
Jimmy, I'm enjoying that, my diet.
I'm glad you are. You look good.
Thank you, Jimmy.
So now that's
what else do we got?
That's a really, really interesting fight. Because you're right. Justin Gaethje is never number six against number seven. Neither of these guys is ever in a boring fight. And Barboza, what has he done in his last couple of fights?
The last fight was he brutalized Dan Hooker, and then he had lost to Kevin Lee, and the Khabib fight was terrible.
Do you think, Jimmy, that if I asked you something, you could do it for me? No.
Depending on what it was.
Would you sing to me the Edson Barboza song, Jimmy? Wait, don't just answer right away, because right away you want to say no, because you don't want to play along.
Sure.
Would you sing that to me?
Sure. I won't do it this time. I will do it.
You're such a tease.
Later.
You're such a tease. But nobody can hear it then.
Sure, they'll hear it.
Do you want me to sing it, Jimmy?
No, I want you to do it back after I do it later.
All right.
We'll figure out a time to
just
do
blink
it.
If you want me to do it.
You know I can't help it.
Stop blinking, Jimmy! I
blink a lot.
All right, I'm not going to do it. I'm gonna make people really just crave for it.
Why? They do.
Hey, listen.
Make them miss it. Make them miss it.
I will say this. I will not sing that Edson Barboza song up. Did I hear something?
No.
Did you say that to me?
I did not.
Did you say Barboza?
No.
Go ahead, Chris, the producer. You want to sing it?
I'm looking forward
to it. Well, we'll do a duet later. Okay, well,
listen. I'm looking forward to it. This is what I want to say. I'm not going to sing it until we're close to his fight.
Okay.
A month before. All right, 2 weeks before to keep people really hungry for it.
Yeah, keep on the edge of their seats.
A week before. I won't sing it until a week before his fight.
Keep them sitting on the edge of their fists.
All right, everybody. There you go. I'm doing that for you guys, even though you probably want it.
Yep.
I got some new jingles coming up.
Hey, what is Marlon Moraes doing, by the way?
He's fighting Rafael Sunsau.
Okay. When is that fight?
That's happening in Brazil.
Yeah, I think that's really soon, February 2nd, I think. Let me just
double check. So many fights.
Yeah, number four.
I'm going to the Rise Invitational on Long Island at the Space Theater on Friday night.
Why?
Why? Uncle Edwin.
Oh.
No, he's got... But Edwin, my buddy, he's got a... My brother-in-law, he's got a match over there. The great Jason Rao, who Corey Sandhagen trains with, he goes out to. He's my top black belt right now, dude. He's submitting everybody. He's world class. He's ranked, I don't know, one number like maybe 12 in the world, but probably even better than that, I'd say. Top guy, right. Jason Rao. I love this kid. He's competing. My buddy Slim, Mike Sully, Nick Gulo. These are all my guys. Not the two. There's two Nick Gulos.
Right.
This is Mike and Nick Gulo.
Sure.
But anyway. There's too many guys. Is Maram competing? No, is he competing? I got to see. So many guys are competing on this Rise thing. What, Chris, the producer, got something to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say Marlon Moraes and Rafael Sanzao. That's a rematch. That is February 2nd in Fortaleza, Brazil.
African Samurai, Manny Flores, he's competing. Oh, this is my guy's grappling this weekend. What did you just say to me?
Fortaleza, Brazil, February 2nd, Marlon Moraes versus Rafael Sanzao.
It's a rematch.
The rematch. Moraes lost. That was his UFC close, debut. It was a split decision.
Close. Yes.
Yep.
Split.
I bet you the winner of that is next in line to fight TJ.
And then we have Aljo. Yeah, Aljo's, sure. You know, Aljo's fighting. So.
Oh, Aljo too.
Aljo's fighting.
Who's he fighting?
He's fighting our good friend Jimmy Rivera.
That's a tough man. That is a tough. Fight.
I love Jimmy too.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going with Aljo, but Aljo's my guy.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have to go.
Do
with
like
Aljo
Jimmy
too.
Though? Jimmy is a friend of this show.
Yeah,
we'll have him in before that.
100%. Sure. You know.
Listen to this. This is kind of a crazy one. Mike Perry.
Wait, hold it's on. Wait, announced? Wait a second. Listen to me. Uh-huh. Wait a minute.
Okay.
I think what? I know who he's going to fight.
Yeah, well, he asked fans on social media. He goes, who got to be in the ring with me to get y'all to buy pay-per-view? Or just who equals the best or most entertaining matchup for what you think my skill set might do well against or not?
Can
well
I guess?
Against? Sure.
Robbie Lawler.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
That'd be very good. He's fighting Ben Askren, though.
Yeah. More interestingly, Matt Brown, who's a monster, replied, hoping I'm ready by June or July. I'm down. So not official, but those two are talking to each other. That's crazy.
I can't think of a better fight than that for him.
Right.
Matt Brown is a old school savage.
Yeah.
He is a beast, and he likes to fight. He enjoys it. You know, Mike Perry is Mike Perry.
Yeah, and he also enjoys fighting.
I believe he's made for it. You know what I mean? The tattoos on the face, that's a dead giveaway.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And the guy's made, that's a great fight. That is a great fight.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah,
that has me excited. It's not nothing set with that though.
No, not set. But I mean, we just saw with Wonderboy and Pettis that both guys are kind of into
see him,
it.
I can't see him sitting out that long though, Perry. Well, yeah. I mean, you know what? The months do fly by though.
But how long is Matt Brown out for?
He's been out a little while.
But he said he's coming back by what?
By June. He said June, July. He hopes to be ready. I mean, Perry just had. I mean, his arm was messed up from Cowboy. It wasn't broken.
June 2nd, I'll be 45, Jimmy.
Oh my God, you don't look a day over 30.
I'm smiling. Man, smile. See the smile?
No,
the people at home can't see.
15 years over 30.
That hurt. Jimmy, words hurt. You fuck. You don't think you could hurt me because I'm a Hall of Famer. And
I saw a guy
champion
on the train today. I thought of you. And I'm like, I wonder if Mac could choke this guy. Because the guy was probably 6'5 and huge.
Okay. What do you think?
I think you probably could.
I think I would have took him, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy, if you see me walk, I could right now, I could 100% roll and fight better than I could walk. I got to do something with I'm getting my legs checked out tomorrow, Jimmy. I'm following up with my right knee, and then I got a big assist behind my left knee.
You get them both fixed.
I got to get that thing drained, dude.
It hurts, right?
It's annoying, Jimmy. It's annoying, you know? All right, guys, listen, let's get back. Any other gossip we got? Any other news?
No.
Give me something.
Khabib was talking shit about Diaz,
What?
Just saying that he's lost a bunch of fights.
But they've been going on something. Diaz said something to him first about him saying he smacked him, and what is going on?
I forget where it was. I guess it was at World Series of Fighting at the time before it became the PFL. Like they had some kind of
Khabib.
Yeah, like the two teams kind of got into it in the crowd a little bit, and you know Nate said he smacked him, and then now Khabib is like, you've lost to all the good guys. Like people forgot about you. You know that kind of thing.
Yeah. So he will not entertain a fight with Nate.
Right. I'll tell you, what about that? Not to switch this years. What about that Gregor Gillespie versus like a Khabib? I mean, listen, Gillespie's slowing that kid down right now. He's going through everybody. He's fighting.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
Does he have all finishes?
Let's see.
Gregor Gillespie.
I think
people don't give the guy enough smoke.
He's right. He's number 15.
very good.
Thank
you,
guys.
New words.
Okay, me and my buddy Curtis Blades.
Is he number 15?
I like that. Number 15. How nice is Curtis Blades, by the way?
Really nice guy.
Curtis Blades, you see that dude in a dark alley or somewhere, you're like, yo, this guy's scary.
Scary guy.
What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Not just because he gave me compliments, Jimmy.
I don't remember them.
He has a couple of decisions.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
He's 13-0, two decisions. The rest, KO
in the UFC.
Submission. No, he is 6-0 in the UFC.
How many stoppages?
Five stoppages.
So who does he
five
have
in
to,
a row?
Who does he have to fight?
before he's in title contention.
What is he ranked?
He's 15, and the rankings haven't been updated yet based on this last card. So
well, let's update him. He should be in the top 10. I mean, what the hell? Who's above him? Well, I mean, that is a stacked fucking division.
Yeah, I don't know if he would be in the top 10, but I think he probably may moves up one spot because Yancey is not ranked. So,
well, Pettis is leaving.
That's true, right. But that's still a little bit March 23rd.
Hernandez just lost.
Yeah. Grab it too.
I would like to see Gillespie. I think Kevin Lee is a little too high for him on the list, but I think that'd be a very interesting fight.
Hey, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
wow, this division is fucking. Yeah, this division is this is a killer division here.
I mean, Islam Makhachev would be interesting, but I think he has a fight lined up though. If I'm not.
What about mistaken. And Paul Felder has a match lined up with James Vick.
Yep.
Hernandez just lost. I'll tell you right now. What about Francisco?
Trinaldo. Sure.
What about that fight? Let's make that fight. Let's make that fight. Gregor Gillespie versus Francisco Trinaldo. What do you think about that?
It's a great fight.
That's a fucking great fight.
I'd rather see him against Kevin Lee, but again, he's too high up.
Yeah, Lee's not going to do that, probably.
What has Kevin Lee got going on? Come on, man. I'm excited.
Kevin Lee's sort of in the middle.
Such talent.
It's unclear what Lee's going to do, if he is going to move up or if he's going to stay at 155. I mean,
why? Is he talking about weight cuts being a problem?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think specifically after the Al fight, he was a bad cut, and he was like, enough of this. I think we're going to move up. Yeah. But we'll see. He might stay at 155.
Raging Al is Raging Al. Yeah. Let's, all right. Movie minute.
Okay.
Yeah, you ready to do it?
Hit it. Matt's Movie Minute. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello, buddy.
All right. Listen, I seen the movie Glass. And by the way, can I just get this out of the way?
I
like to rant about annoying people really quick.
Sure.
There was, you know, we a couple of days a week, I have, all my three kids are at school now. So my wife, I hang out with my wife. We get lunch and during the day a little bit before I got to go to the schools and whatever we do, either work out, sometimes we'll catch a movie. So she went with me to see Glass, right? And there was a lady there. You know how, like, there's, like, people, like I don't know if they're in group, either group homes or they're disabled people, like, special people. Like, you know what I mean? And there's people, like, aides that bring them to, like, movies and stuff. So there's, like, a group of, like maybe five.
Sure.
Special needs
whatever, yeah.
Okay. And then there was two ladies with them. First of all, they took them to see Glass, which probably wasn't the best choice to see.
Right.
Because they're in mental patients and there's, but whatever. I'm not their parents, but I don't know what their policies are. But we got out of the movie, and I'm going to talk about the movie in 1 second. Let me just get this off my chest. So I'm looking at my wife, and now there's two aides with them, right? Two ladies. And how rude, this fat, short, like, she had some piercings in her face and she was like dumpy, but that's not the point. I'm not body shaming her, but it has to do with her attitude. She was talking to them and I swear to God, it was a second away from either me or my wife saying something. My wife was getting pissed too. Like, all right, don't look at me. Look straight as she's talking to one of the ladies there. Like, and like, you have to use the bathroom. Don't look. Why are you looking at me? She was being, and like physically, like putting her hand on her, the pointer in a direction. I was so fucking, I was getting so livid. I'm looking at my wife. My wife's looking at me. And she's like, my wife's speaking loud. And my wife is so sweet, but she doesn't like that shit either.
Yeah.
She goes, not for nothing. She goes, she shouldn't. I don't know if she said not for nothing. I say that.
Yeah, you do. That sounds like
she
Matt.
Speaks better. She's like, but she goes.
And then my wife goes, Jimmy.
Jimmy. She goes, she shouldn't be having this job if she can't handle.
That's right.
She goes, this job might be stressful. Jimmy just got me lightheaded, Jimmy. She got me. She goes, but she shouldn't be the right. She's not the right person for this job. You're making me laugh now, Jimmy. But holy shit, that fat pig. She got me so pissed. I was so pissed. She went into the bathroom with them, and she's talking to the other lady to watch the guys. And Jimmy. So my wife went into the bathroom with her. My wife's going. She goes, if I hear her talking to them in there, I'm going to say something. I go, well, don't wait till you come out. Yeah. Like, I was afraid my wife would say something to the lady, and then the special lady might turn on my wife. I don't know, and have super strength and attack. I don't know why my wife's going to get attacked trying to be sticking up for the person.
And you can't help her because then you're in the bathroom.
Who knows what's going to happen? She's outnumbered. And I don't know. And I didn't want to upset the adults that were special. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to get them thinking that we're bad. And I don't want to make a scene.
Yeah.
But that fat pig, my wife's like, I want to know where she works. I want to know where she works. I go, what am I supposed to do? Ask one of these guys? I don't know what to say here. I go, if I say something, the lady gets an attitude. This is going to be very bad.
And she'll just take it out on them anyway.
What?
She'll just take it out on the people she's working with.
God forbid it went south and I had this thought. Now next thing you know, I go to defend this and I'm getting attacked by the special guys. And I have this stuff. Imagine I'm fighting them out. I'm fighting them? All right, let's go back. Let's get to the movie.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's a good point.
Jimmy makes me laugh. Can I just apologize to the audience?
The police would come, they'd break it up, they wouldn't know who was with who. I said Matt home with the lady.
A bunch of special guys. A bunch of special.
Oh, but that's my wife. I can't. Yeah. Get in the van.
Oh, shit. Jimmy.
Quiet.
Don't look at me. Look straight at me.
Also, they sent my wife home, one of the guys, special guys. Anyway, listen. I'm crying. I'm fucking crying. Anyway, the movie, Glass.
Yep.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It's about comic books. I'm crying now, Jimmy, by the way. I enjoyed Bruce Willis. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but the way it started so great. I'm not crazy about the ending. You know, I'm not crazy about it. I don't want to be spoilers. Let me just let you know how it begins. A little bit, like,
could I have one of those crisps?
They're done.
God damn it! What a dick tease. There was a fucking.
Ah, they're done.
There was a bag of like these delicious cheddar cheese crisps.
Quest nacho chips.
Oh, they're good. And I was going to enjoy one while Matt was doing his movie minute, and the fucking bag was all fluffed up. Yeah. I looked like I had 60 or 70 of them.
No, Jimmy, look at it in my hand.
Oh, it's fucking empty.
In my hand.
It's empty. It's like a low-hanging scrotum.
Exactly.
Right, go ahead.
So, Jimmy, like, it's so crazy. Because for people that don't know, this movie Glass with
Bruce Willis,
the guy who's great at the impersonations. He also plays Magneto. Not Magneto.
Oh, Rich Little.
Professor. Fuck. Oh. What's his name?
Jay Moore.
No, forget it. I forgot his name, but he's in Split. He's from Split.
I'll look it up.
Great. He's from Split. He's fantastic because he plays the villain pretty much, but he's also a guy with split personalities. There was a movie Split, and there was a movie before that called Unbreakable.
Oh, James McAvoy.
Yeah. James McAvoy's fantastic.
Sure.
And Bruce Willis, the girl who plays the shrink in the movie, fantastic. I enjoyed the movie.
Lorraine Bracco?
It's almost like a real, like it's about like, it's a comic book type movie based like in real life. It's M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually made this seem very interesting to me. Like, it's something I'm interested. So I didn't know it was the third in a trilogy.
If you watch the end of Split.
I didn't watch those first two, but I'd have to watch them.
You'd have to watch Unbreakable. I recommend people watch Unbreakable, watch Split. Because I'm going to say you don't need it, but you kind of need it. It shows glimpses back. They do some glimpses back to those movies. So you get ideas. But if you see those movies, it really, it's a trilogy, basically. And, you know, it's great seeing them interact. I enjoyed in the beginning of the movie, it really brought me back to the comic or pump, the Punisher comics. I'm thinking if it was Garth Ennis' run on that. Anyway, it was back in the 90s when he had this partner named Microchip. It's kind of in the.
What's that?
Not that shit.
A little small humorous.
No, stop, no. But it's like,
Microchip
was the the guy that does all the tech, and he's at home saying, all right, listen, I think it's going down here. And
what's his name,
and
Michael?
And the other guy's the guy in the field. Micro, just Micro, you can call him. Call him Micro. And, but he was like a fat guy in a van, fat guy in like doing the computer work. But in this movie, you fast forward, and his son is the one who believed that Bruce Willis was like, because he plays like, he's the superhero, basically. He's like super strength. Am I losing everybody? So his son in Unbreakable knew that he had believed that his father was the superhero before anybody else believed it. In one scene, he had a gun, and he was about to shoot him, and he's like, it was very intense, and he's like, don't do that, I'll die. He believed his father was indestructible, but he was right. It was so powerful. I feel like I got something in my mouth. Hold on.
It's a penis.
Put that away, Chris, the producer. Anyway. So, I mean, Unbreakable was a great movie. So it's like, so now you see.
Is that Samuel Jackson?
Jimmy, no. That's the other one.
He's in Glass.
He's in Glass.
Okay.
And he was also in. Unbreakable.
Okay, I've never seen it. Right.
He was the villain in Unbreakable. But listen. Don't throw me off, Jimmy.
I'm right here.
I got the memory. It gets all over the place.
I love those crisps.
Jimmy. But listen, with this movie. So, know what I really like about it? You got the same, and know what threw me off a little bit, though? You got the same characters, which was both awesome and a little weird in one sense, where the kid who plays Bruce Willis's kid But the this other kid, he was, now it's him. It's the same actor.
He was dead at the end of that movie.
Yeah, Bruce Willis.
Haley Joel Osment, he was dead at the end of that movie.
What movie?
Sixth Sense.
No, he wasn't. What do you mean?
Right?
No, you dummy. No, you're not dummy.
He was alive?
He was alive seeing ghosts.
Bruce Willis was dead.
Bruce Willis was dead.
You never saw Sixth Sense?
No, I didn't.
Way to fucking, way to chime in on that.
I was just trying to interrupt you.
But you've heard the spoiler?
Yeah, yeah,
it's such a great film.
Oh, is it? That's, yeah, well, that's why I heard it and then I never
watched. No,
never
you should, even though you know what you know, yeah, you should still watch it and you'll see, like, wow, no, that's one of the greatest twists ever.
Okay.
Yeah, but you kind of know what's going on now.
Now you
yeah,
do.
But
you
that, well, yeah, now.
But it was great. That's what put M. Night Shyamalan on the.
It
on
is, that. Yeah, and then he did Signs, and then he did
Signs
The Village.
Signs was great,
the
too.
The Village was terrible.
The one with the, which one?
The Village was terrible.
The Village was horrible, and also was the one with the fucking air is the bad, with Mark Wahlberg and John Leguizamo.
That's so funny, though. Like, that movie's so unintentionally funny.
What's
it's really enjoyable to watch. The Happening, I think?
Yeah, it wasn't very happening. I like What's Happening.
The Happening.
Rerun.
Yeah, me too.
I love
and
that.
And Shirley Hemphill.
Yeah.
And Mabel King.
Yeah. And what do you call it? The what do you call it? You got attractive as she got older. What's the sister? D.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I forget her real name, D.
Nini. I forget.
Ernest Thomas was Raj.
I liked Raj a lot.
Who didn't? He was the best.
And
Fred Berry was Rerun. He died.
Rest in peace.
And Haywood Nelson was Dwayne.
I like Dwayne.
Me too. Hey.
I like them all, but they never should have stole. They never should have snuck into that Doobie Brothers concert with that recording.
Well, you know what? Then Rerun's dancing and he just drops it. And Sweet Daddy. Remember Sweet Daddy got him to do it?
He got upset when it happened.
I'm going to jail for a fat kid eating popcorn. He was so unhappy.
Back to Glass, everybody, because this movie Minute's taking a lot of left turns.
Sorry.
Okay? It was a good movie. It was a really good movie. And like I said, yeah, so it's the kid, the same actors. And why I said it was a little weird is because now it's in the future a little bit, or it's now from compared to the old ones, where Samuel L. Jackson's mother, you could tell they're making her older than she is because it looks a little fake, her face. That's not supposed to be. There's some weird shit with that, too. I don't know why she's so proud of her son. He's a mass murderer. But anyway, I know this this review is all over the place. Go see it. I enjoyed it. I did not want to take a piss break. It was a fun movie. I wish the ending was a little bit different. But if I say the stuff I wish would have happened, it would have been spoilers. And I'll save that for something else.
But you do recommend it.
I recommend it, man. I enjoyed it, man. I did. I enjoyed it. There's way more I liked about it than didn't like about it. So,
do you mind if I jump in just on the end
of
this?
Sure.
So something I got excited about today that I saw, the Ooh. Sopranos prequel movie that they're supposed to be coming out in a couple of years called The Many Saints of Newark. They announced that they cast James Gandolfini's son, Michael, as young Tony Soprano.
Show me the picture of him. Yeah, I didn't even know he had.
Yeah, my
his son.
A girl I knew was in his acting class. She was very nice.
His son?
Yeah, yeah. He had a son. He was with him when he died.
That's the son that was with him when he was dying. He was little.
Yeah, he's 19 now.
I want to see what he looks like.
Yeah. What year did Gandolfini die? Yeah, it makes sense. He looks like him. I mean, it's his son.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's going to be the, what is it called?
It's called The Many Saints of Newark. And David Chase is writing it.
I don't think that ending was so. When you really think about it, he did get whacked at the end. I don't think there was really that much of
maybe.
Why maybe?
I just don't know.
Because it thinks that they did so many, like, what is it, a precursor or a prelude?
Yeah, yeah.
When the things just fade to black, or they just turn, next thing you know, you just think, and they did that, next thing you know, it just turned to black. When he looked up, and that guy obviously went to the bathroom before somebody came in. They show that. Why would they show that dude looking around with fucking weird and then go to the bathroom?
Right. Well, he says, I love The Sopranos. I've watched it like a million times.
Okay.
Do you ever see the one?
Go ahead.
James Gandolfini died in 2013, by the way. But when Tony is in, they're out on the lake, him and Bobby Bacala, they're talking about
how good the time for it
to end. He says, way I look at it, there's only a couple of ways, you know, you face the black, you get killed pretty much. So he kind of spells it out in that scene and then
it fades to black.
And the way they did it, when he looks up, obviously, why would they show that guy go behind him and go use the bathroom? He came in behind him, he looked up when he heard the bell and he got whacked.
It could also be because that's what his life is like, is every single moment is tension. Every single moment is looking around. This is what it's going to be.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard so many different theories on it.
I'm just shocked.
Now Chase kind of has to say he's dead because, you know, he's dead.
I'm shocked. Well, I'm shocked that you
are being a glasses half full with him being alive.
No, I'm not. I don't have any investment either way. I just don't know. I'm not convinced enough either way because I've heard great theories on both sides
right.
as to why he could have lived and why he could have been dead.
Well, I'm glad it ended because I really enjoyed that show for how many seasons. But once they started going into that dream shit and everything, I was out. I was not out, but I was like, all right.
Captain Malunga.
All right, he's visiting a party now in his dream. And what the
I kind of like that, though.
Why, Jimmy?
Because they showed this, they humanized
him. He's a big pussy and Uncle fucking June and... Those early episodes were so. I mean, I guess that's like with everything.
They're also showing his mentality, like with therapy. They did so many things where they just made them people.
Yeah.
Sopranos was so good. It was so good. And I'm running out of. Well, not really. I'm getting back into The Punisher now. Punisher season 2 is out, Jimmy.
Never saw season 1.
Well, maybe you should do it.
All right. I'm going to pee my pants.
Well, I think we're going to end. Yeah. Let's do some plugs, everybody.
I don't have any. I'll tell you when I have tickets for on sale. I'm doing a very small club in Rochester. And I will tell you when this is. Hold on now. I'll be up my dumb phone.
Jimmy, this show's got all possibilities.
May 17th and 18th, I'll be at the Comedy at the Carlson in Rochester, New York. 2 nights only.
I'm going to be at the Rise Invitational. That's where I'm going to be on Friday night. You know what I mean? I got so many guys competing. I'm so proud of everybody. They're so awesome. My academy is just such a, it's such a good vibe around there. People looking for limbs, yet good crowd, good energy. No douchebags.
Yes.
No douchebags, Jimmy. But so that's where I'm going to be at the Rise Invitational. Watch my buddy Jason Rao, Slim, and all my crew. Just go to work. I cannot wait.
Yes.
Also, Saturday night, I don't know if I'm making it or not. I am a geek. You know, what's my buddy's name? Christian Haro. Did I say his last name right? Haro. What the fuck? Hold on. Yeah, right. I know. It's my guy. It's Harloff. I'm sorry. Christian Harloff. He's my buddy from the, what's that thing called? Collider, that nerd site.
Okay.
He's going to be in town. They're doing something called the Movie Trivia Schmodown. And he invited me to it. You know what I mean? And it's like it's a cool geeky thing. It's at the Brooklyn, Saturday the 26th, this Saturday. Brooklyn, Roulette? Intermedium Theater? Oh, yeah, I said that right. At 7 p.m., they are live streaming on triviasd.com. Hey, I like these guys. They're nerds, you know? And they like all this stuff I talk about with passion. Yes. They're very passionate about, Jimmy.
Yes, they are.
Fighting, Jimmy, mixed martial arts, the UFC. It has to do with jiu-jitsu. That falls in that category.
Yes, it does.
Of course, maybe my vibe, video gaming, and the comic books, movies and shit. That's my passions.
Yes, it is.
My passions. Stuff I do with my wife, too. I get very passionate.
Yes, you do.
But that's, I don't like to talk about that.
I understand. Yeah. You're very respectful.
But all right, Jimmy, listen, that's. I just wanted to give those shout-outs. And people, you don't got to train with me, but you really should train. SarahBJJ.com if you're in Long Island. And people, I will be getting those Kimora Savage shirts and stuff. I'll let you know when I have some stuff, merchandise. People hit me up. They like my Kimora Savage shirts, Jimmy.
Yes, they do.
All right, Jimmy. I had fun today, buddy. You?
Me too. Awesome.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, now remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com/UFC Unfiltered, or wherever you get your shows. Not my business.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.